Well, it's good to be back in church tonight, ain't it?
Amen.
You know, I was just thinking, Brother Matt, we get to see Jesus face to face. I wonder how many people in here tonight are really excited about seeing Jesus Christ face to face. You know why they're not excited, Tim? They may not even have him. You're not going to get excited about something you don't have. I was talking to him earlier about the hope in you. And if that hope is inside of you, Peter, I'm sure don't you want to go out there so somebody else can have it? Well, I want to take care of something real quick. I just want to introduce my mother, Veronica. She likes to go by Ronnie. Yeah. And you pray for her. Please take the time. Just shake her hand real quick and just say hello to her, okay? And my mom's in the stage of seeking.
Amen.
Pray for my mother. Okay, she'd sure appreciate being saved and be able to go to heaven like you. How about that?
Amen.
You go, man, you're saying that right in front of your mom. Yeah, that's my mom. She, I know where she stands. She knows where she stands. And you know what? I want her saved and born again, just like
that. Amen. That's right. Yes.
Thank God she wants to be born again. You know why she came to church all day hurting? You think I understand what pain is? She's 75 years old. And her body's riddled. Okay, riddled with pain. And yet she comes to church. You know why she started coming to church? She moved into our home. And the word of God started, Tim, it started getting to her.
Amen.
We started doing devotionals at dinner time.
Amen.
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 She started hearing the word of God. Brother Matt, you know what else started going on? Is my wife would turn up Tim McVeigh's podcast at the table. She started listening to that podcast from her bedroom.
Amen.
Then she said, Dale, I'm going to get up because Pastor John said I need to read Proverbs chapter 4. My mother, for the first time in decades, picked up a Bible and started reading the book of Proverbs.
Amen.
You know why that is? It's not because of me, Tim. It's because God started infiltrating her with the word of God.
Amen.
And it started sparking something up inside of her that she realized, man, I want that. She just don't understand it. You ought to pray that my mother get clarity from God. She needs clarity from the Holy Ghost to show her and help her to understand something that may come natural to you doesn't to her. That's the block. That's what's there stopping her right now. She just doesn't get it. She doesn't know the lingo. Some people sitting in this church, Miss Gracie, they know the lingo and are lost and going to bust hell wide open. At least my mother understands that she doesn't understand that, but she needs something more than the lingo.
Amen.
We, you know, brother, you know what we're going to do? We're going to talk about Jesus tonight. Sometimes you travel around and you just want to do. People want to hear about Jesus anymore?
I do.
What do they come, what do you come to church to hear?
Jesus.
It's all about Jesus. It's about what he does in people's lives. It's about that new life that he gives and that peace that passes all understanding, the change. And look, one day we get to go to heaven and meet him face to face. I still get worked up when I hear that I'm going to stand there before the Savior one day. And I'm going to be able to see him face to face. Somebody that he would reach down to somebody like me and he pulled me out of that pit and stand me there and say, you're my son. There was a time it was very hard, Miss Ashley, for my mother to call me her son. Would you want to call somebody like me your son? That's a reality. But yet, through all that, Christ never turned from seeking me.
Amen.
Because he came to seek and save that which is lost.
Glory.
My goodness, you know what? People need to just realize they're lost. Just stop playing the games and come to him and to say, look, I'm lost. I need Jesus. I need help. Jesus, would you help open my understanding in this thing? You know what? He's not running. He's not the one that's lost. People go, oh, I keep seeking Jesus. He's not the one that's lost. You see, he's been marching towards us since we were in our mother's womb. Since before eternity, that we know earth today, Jesus Christ knew that we were going to be born and he was seeking us. He already had us on his mind. This is not something new to Jesus. How about it?
Amen. Yeah.
Well, let's just get into the Bible. Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. We'll keep it quick. We'll probably, I'm thinking 10.
Yeah.
More people drop dead. I preached a thing. Woo! Hey, if the preaching gets long, you ain't gonna bother the Holy Ghost if you get up and leave here. You're the one missing, not anybody else.
Right.
That's a reality.
Right.
I'm not gonna be here till 10. I'm just saying. Well, let me not say that. Anyway, Mark chapter 6, and look at this says here. We'll read in verse 34, and then we'll expound a little bit of what the Lord showed me, and it says, Mark chapter 6 and verse 34, and Jesus, Mark 6:34. Did I say the wrong number? Okay. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people. I want you to notice that Jesus took notice. I want you to realize that tonight, Jesus is scanning this room and he's taking notice of you. He knows where you're at. You see, nothing ever took Jesus Christ by surprise. And Tim, the goodness of God, Peter, that he would be so long-suffering, because there's been people that I go, Lord, they're just not going to get it. You know, I almost came to the point to write my mother off. Because in our flesh, we do that. But thank God, Jesus Christ's long-suffering is different than ours. Amen. Never count somebody out. Never look at them like they're hopeless.
Amen. That's right.
My goodness, Jesus is the hope for the hopeless. If he's not, then what do they have, Brother Bat?
Come on.
Come on.
The only hope for Dale Morey was Jesus Christ. There was never any. There was never going to be a program out there, an AA, an NA, a jail, a prison. I don't care what you put me in. It never changed my heart. It never changed my life. It took Jesus Christ to step into this old convict.
Amen. That's right.
There was no hope outside of Jesus Christ. But look at it says, and there was much people. What's that next phrase there? What happened when he noticed the people? It says that he was moved with compassion toward them.
Amen.
How about that? Amen. My goodness, Jesus Christ, God Almighty, he noticed the people. And not only did he notice the people, but he had compassion on sinners. He had compassion on lost people. When I say, look, you look at them and think there's no hope for them, that very one Jesus Christ is having compassion on. Do we ever think of that? No, we don't think about that. We don't think about Jesus Christ having compassion and who he came to. We just think that he's come for the mediocre people. Let me just tell you this. There was a time when I met Pastor John Asquith, and he sat there, and we sat on my porch when the very first time I ever met him. My words were to him, Jesus Christ only saves good people, not people like me. Where would I get an idea like that when I've been sitting underneath preaching in prison? Because these men have never came in there and told me about the compassion and love of Christ. They've only come in to give me some mundane, some warm little nonsense that never worked in my life. They came in because they copied somebody else's sermon off the internet and tried to preach it to me and make it their own, and it never worked. They came in because some Bible college, Timothy, told them about this thing. If they go into the jail and try to work with people, that it'll be a big help to them. And I'm telling you right now, it was not a help. I left prison just as lost as I went in there. But the only thing that I left there differently with, I had a profession. That profession almost sent me to hell. It wasn't a profession of salvation. What I wanted was a quick fix for what was going on the outside. But Jesus Christ was not concerned about what was going on my outside. He was concerned about what was going on the inside.
Amen. Yes.
You see, all throughout this wonderful King James Bible that we say we believe, God is trying to work on the inward parts.
Amen. Yes, sir.
The outward will come. Those outward things will follow. When there's a change that happens on the inside, the outside don't have a choice. It's going to follow. Why? Because Jesus Christ kicks those doors in and he starts kicking stuff out and replacing it with what he wants.
That's right. Glory to God for that.
I go in there and I tell those men and women, I said, let me ask you a question. Jesus is so powerful, then why can't he deliver you from the things you're in? What Jesus do you have? There is another Jesus out there. It's called the devil. He wants to be called Jesus. Isaiah chapter 14. He said, I'll be like the Most High God. And he's deceiving people. And he's got people believing that he really is Jesus. And yet he can't change their life. You read that book. You know what happens? It says those devils believe. They fear and they tremble. But let me ask you this. Does it ever change them?
No.
So who's preaching that gospel to those people? The devil. The devil. The devil. Preaching the same God. You see, the devil wants to be like the Most High God. We have a gospel of Jesus Christ. There's a gospel of the devil too, my friend, and it's keeping people lost and deceived.
That's right.
It's a reality, Tim. Why can't they see it? Because the God of this world, small g of this world, has blinded the minds of them which believe not. Lest the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ should shine upon them, and lest the gospel should shine upon their hearts and show them what they really are on the inward parts.
Amen.
Boy, everybody wants to put a quick band-aid. Well, I got to get off of drugs. I got to stop smoking. Got to quit cussing. That's nonsense to God. That's so easy to God to get them people off of that. He's got to work on the inward parts for that stuff to start going away.
Amen.
And then when that stuff doesn't go away, it's God's fault. What a shame. Well, I mean, God gets blamed for everything.
Yeah.
My goodness. Well, brother, Jesus Christ noticed people and had compassion on them.
Yes, sir.
But here's the thing. Look, he notices them. There's five verses in your King James Bible that talks about Jesus Christ being moved with compassion. And I just want to spend a few minutes tonight, or a few hours, or whatever God has. I'm talking about Jesus Christ being moved with compassion. And all five of those times, he's moved in a different way towards different people. Because he has compassion on them where they are.
Amen.
Would to God we have realized that a long time ago. Would to God I would have realized the compassion, Russell, that Jesus Christ had for me where I am. My goodness, when it says that Jesus Christ takes notice of people, that don't tickle your heart, it does mine. I'm sorry. I just can't help the fact to get excited that Jesus Christ would even take notice of somebody like me. Mom, I'm not even talking about the outward things. I'm talking about those dark inward things that used to make me want to kill myself. I would wake up in the mornings and rock back and forth on the chair, saying, why do I have to live? Why are you allowing me to go another day and suffer this pain and agony going on inside of me? Why the darkness and the depressions? I mean, it was so dark. It'd be daylight out, and it was so dark for me. I just couldn't even see. I was so depressed. It was so low. I can't describe the feeling of it, but it was always like I was living in a box, and I just could never get out. No matter what I did, no matter what medicine they put me on, no matter what I tried to cover it up with, it would never go away. It was so haunting to me. It was so hard and oppressive. And that's how I lived my life for decades. And I just came to a point where I didn't care about myself or anybody else. And the destruction that caused in men and women's lives, and children got caught up in it. And yet, Jesus took notice of me. Jesus took notice of me, Tim. You know where? Sitting in prison. Sitting in jail, he sent a black man my way. He said, will you come to a Bible study? He goes, I want to. I said, no, I don't need your Jesus. I don't need this religious stuff. He said, just come here one time. One time. I said, okay. And can I just say, he didn't open up an NIV. He didn't open up an ESV. He opened up a King James Bible.
Amen.
And for the first time in decades, I was rocked to the core.
Amen.
and did not know how to handle it. But I knew that this Jesus was after me. And I could not escape it. Through all that I went through, facing all the time that I was facing, being extradited from Florida, being flown up here by the FBI up into New York to face my charges, that whole entire time, Jesus Christ was after me. Amen. And he kept sending men my way. And he kept sending, what Bible do you think he kept sending me? Let me tell you what kind of versions are in the jails and prisons. But what do you? How special do you think God was to me to keep sending me a King James Bible and somebody that preached it? Do you just think that was a coincidence? Oh, I don't.
No, not at all.
Oh, I don't think. And then guess what, Timothy? When I get out, I meet my beautiful wife. We move out to the country because we're very smart knuckleheads. We think it's going to be better for us in the country. Well, more just as many people are dying in the country per capita from drugs and alcohol than it is the city. But we're back. We're going to be okay out in the country. Oh, it's okay. Because you know what, brother? God had to bring me and my wife to the wilderness to get us set apart for Pastor John Asquith to come knocking.
Right.
What do you think he was preaching? You call that an accident all you want. I'm going to say that God was after me and my wife.
Amen.
Why? Because he had compassion on us. He seen us. He noticed us. He recognized us. But not only that, you know what else he recognized? That we wanted out of what we were in. Most people stay lost in church because they don't want out of what they're in.
Right. Come on.
Religious nonsense. It'll send you to hell.
Right.
You got to want to get out of what you're in. You got to realize what you're in.
Amen.
Then you got to believe it. And God will come along, and he takes notice of that, and he goes, oh, there's one who wants the love of the truth.
Amen. Oh, glory to God.
Ronnie Scope, my goodness. Yeah. One click of an email button. You think that was an accident? My friend, Jesus had compassion on his finger. He saw that man. He saw that he wanted the love of the truth. And he sent that email to Pastor John. And for 3 years, Pastor John, 3 hours back and forth to get him in church. To do what? Preach that Bible to him. We didn't have any special programs there for Ronnie. The King James Bible was preached to him. And guess what happened? He got born again. And it changed his life. Why? Because Jesus Christ had compassion on Ronnie Scolton.
Amen.
Tim, my goodness, you don't think Jesus Christ had compassion on your soul? What about it, brother?
Yeah.
Brother Bat, love you, man. You're a man's man. But God had compassion on you, my friend. You know, old farmer dude there working hard his entire life. He needed to be saved just like me.
Amen.
Why? God had compassion on him.
Amen.
He was moved with compassion to do something. And look what it goes on to say. It says that he had compassion toward them because they were as sheep having a shepherd. But did he just leave them there? Can somebody just read the next part of that verse for me real quick?
He began to teach them many things.
Oh, he did not just leave them in the same condition.
No.
He did something about it with his compassion. When a man comes behind this pulpit and they're preaching and preaching and preaching, do you not think that God may have sent this man to give you a message? Because he's got compassion on your soul and he's not trying to leave you in the same condition that you've always been. Don't you thank God that he doesn't leave you when he saves you in the same condition that he found you? I'm not a Bible scholar, but let me just make this clear, okay, Austin? Every time in that Bible, when a person comes in contact with Jesus, they leave different.
Amen.
They're not the same anymore. And throughout eternity, hey, we'll get to see them in heaven.
Amen.
Jesus stopped by because he had compassion on them, and he began to teach them. He didn't leave them the same way that they've been. Why? Because he was moved with that compassion. He had a love for them. Do you not understand the love of Christ in your life tonight? If not, it's there for you. It's not just for a special few people. We're not Calvinists here.
Amen.
Yeah.
Whosoever. It's every person in this room tonight that's lost without Christ is having compassion on you tonight. And you're not even realizing that you're sitting in this church service not because you made the choice to come, but God had the compassion to get you here.
Amen.
They just think they do things on their own, like God didn't have any orchestration in them being here tonight.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you right now, that ain't the truth. God gave you a will, but I'm telling you right now, put it on your heart to be here.
Yeah. Thank God.
Well, five times these verses are speaking about Jesus Christ being moved with compassion. When we're talking about being moved here, we're talking about that Jesus Christ was emotionally touched. He was swayed. He was impressed. Could you imagine he's looking upon this crowd and his heart is aching, Brother John. His heart is aching for the crowd. Do you know what? Tonight, as I stand up here and preach this, that his heart is aching for people in this church tonight. His heart is broke for the people in this church tonight. He's got compassion. He's been moved with compassion. He's been trying to bring you the message. He's been trying to show you. He's been trying to light it up so that you can see it. Why? Because he's moved with compassion. He doesn't want you to leave the same way you came in. He's loved you enough to go to the cross. His soul was made an offering for sin. Why? That you can be saved. He went through all that he went through for you.
Amen.
We preached a little bit this morning about what Christ went through. And that separation of the Godhead and so on and so forth. Why did he have to go through all that? Because his compassion drove him to do that.
Yeah.
Could you imagine being that moved towards a people that hate him? They hate him with religion, and they hate him with everything else that goes on in their life. And yet, when I say this, somebody may come to your mind, but I guarantee you in the last year, you've either ran into somebody or thought of somebody and said, there is no help for them person. You know why? Because you're not moved with compassion. Exactly right. Can I ask, do you know why I go in them jails? Number one, I have a hope in me called Jesus Christ. And I want those men and women. You go, man, look, I've been going in those jails and prisons now for 8 years. Been spit at, called names, ridiculed, guards attacking me, people attacking me outside the jail. I mean, I went through everything that you could possibly think of. Why do you think I stay there? Because I understand them perfectly. Hebrews 13:3 says, remember them that are in bonds as with them. I understand that. That gives me a compassion to move to those men and women and go in there and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to them.
Amen.
How about us in here? Oh, I'm not talking about going into the jail. What about your work? Grocery store. We not have compassion on those men and women? Those waitresses and waiters that are sitting there working. I don't care if they got earrings in their nose. I don't care if they're gay, lesbian. I don't care if they're straight. I don't care if they're church people, non-church people. I'm telling you right now, Jesus Christ had compassion on all of them.
That's right. Amen.
You can't discount them for what they are, because Jesus Christ has it. Now, he might not like what they do, but he sure loves them enough to die for them.
That's right.
Yeah.
Either that or the Bible's a lie. Because there's a lot of things I look at and go, there's no way I can have compassion on that. But Jesus said, I do.
Amen.
Oh, what a driving force. Well, he never let that compassion move him to leave things undone. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 14. Let's look at another one. Matthew chapter 14. Don't be falling asleep in here tonight now. The spirit of slumber comes out over people and you know, they miss what happens. They miss. Look, if you're sickly and older, I get it. That don't even bother. But don't let the spirit of slumber come over you tonight.
Amen. Come on.
We can stay awake for football, NASCAR, and everything else. Yeah. Hey, if somebody had to go to work right now, you'd be wide awake at work. So why don't you be wide awake at church?
Come on.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not kidding. I'm not saying that to be a jerk. I say that everywhere because I see people falling asleep more in church today than I ever have in my life. And it's just something that happens. People just let it soothe them, and they just shut their eyes, and next thing you know, they wake up and go, oh, cool, service is over, we're out of here. And they didn't get anything. If you're that tired and you know you have to come to church, go take a nap. I slept for an hour and a half. Mm-hmm. I'm not kidding you. Saturday nights, I'm in bed early. We were in bed at what, 9:15 last night? I'm going to be in church all day. I need to stay awake and hear what the man of God has to say. It doesn't even matter if I'm preaching. I'm still in the Bible. It's still being preached to me. I'm not here preaching to you. Fall asleep? Come on, man. Look at Look at Matthew chapter 14 and verse 14. And it goes on in Matthew 14:14. And it says, and Jesus went forth. And here again he says, they saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion toward them. And what, he left them? He just walked away from them? No, he healed their sick. Every single time you see Jesus Christ moved with compassion, he does something and the people change that he has compassion on. They do not stay the same. They cannot stay the same when they come in contact with Jesus. Hey, my friend, let me just say this. If you've ever come in contact with Jesus, you won't stay the same.
Yeah, that's right.
It's impossible, Timothy. I can fight it all I want. Guess who's going to lose? I'm going to lose that battle. And I'm okay with losing that battle.
Amen.
It's the one battle in my life, brother, but I don't mind. Well, I used to hate when people try to come up and punch on me and all that kind of stuff. But you know what I love a lot? Well, I don't ask for it. Let me just deliver something. I don't ask for it. I sure love when God corrects me. Because in that correction, I see his love. I see that he still has that compassion on me. There's just something in my life he does. And you know what happens? God always does something for me after I get that right with him. After I get that right with him. When I come to that place of repentance. And let me just say this. Some of those things are 2 or 3 years long.
Yeah.
Some of those things are 2 or 3 years long. They're just battles, man. But I know what? God's going to come out on top. And every time I come out the other side, I go, man, why didn't I just stop this earlier? Right. Why didn't I just give in, Tim? Because I really didn't trust God. Whatever circumstance or whatever area that is in your life that God has pinpointed, he's working with, we tell God, I really trust that you can take it. No, you don't. Why don't you just be open and honest with him and say, Lord, I just don't trust you in this area. I don't trust you in this area of my life. Maybe it's a person. Trust issues always been a big thing for me. Today, going on 13 years in October of being saved, there are still some trust issues in my life that I have to work through. Would to God, Peter, I would just lay it down to God and just say, here, you take it, but I don't.
Yeah.
Could you imagine, Timothy, if I would live with the compassion of Christ in my life? If I really understood how much he loved me. He doesn't want to see me hurt. He doesn't want things to go wrong in my life, but we live like Jesus Christ is trying to steer us in the wrong direction. We try to change his direction in our life because we do not trust him. Compassion drove Jesus Christ to always do the right thing. Not the wrong. Stop looking at Jesus Christ like he's trying to lead you in harm's way. He's not. That's not what compassion does. Compassion is a love that's inside of him. Beyond any measure that we could ever measure in human capacity, his love, that compassion drove him to do the wrong thing. Why would you want to trust a God who would lead you in the wrong direction? It's not what he's trying to do. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. And go with me to Mark chapter 2. You go, man, he turns to a lot of verses. Is there anything better than the Bible? There's no other place to turn. It's Bible exercise that'll help keep you awake and teach you what the books are. Amen. I'm a real stickler on that probably the last year about people sleeping in church. So you know what I stopped doing? I stopped writing messages and just putting down verses so you have to turn to them. I'm just a jerk like that. I try not to be a jerk, Miss Ashley. I try, but it's so hard. It's so hard. No, I'm not trying to be a jerk. I really am trying to help. Am I not trying to help, Amy? She's not here. Okay, Mark chapter 2. I know. Let's just have fun. We can laugh a little bit in church, break it up a little bit.
Amen.
But don't let your concentration go away.
Never.
Look at 2:17. Mark 2:17. When Jesus heard it, he saith unto them, they that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. You understand? God's not here for the goody two-shoes. He's not here to call one of his children. He's here to call sinners to repentance. Why? Because that's what he does. That's his compassion. Man, Jesus Christ talks more about lost people than anybody in the Bible.
Right.
Just because a person has leprosy, Jesus Christ doesn't run from that. He goes to it. He heard of this crowd. And what did he do? Turn around and go somewhere else? No, he went to them. Why? Because it says that he came to seek and to save who was lost. Either he's a liar or that Bible's the truth. That's a reality. What you're holding in your lap right now, Russell, is either the absolute truth or it's an absolute lie. There is no in between.
Come on, that's right, right?
Tim, don't you believe that's the absolute truth?
I do.
I know I do.
Yeah.
It's evidence in my life, brother. Brother Bill, I couldn't imagine. Jesus Christ pointing something out in my life and then just turning around and walking away from me. He's not a human being. You see, so many people have been hurt by human beings. They equate God to being a human being, and he's not. They treat God like he's a person. Like God. After I got saved, Brother Bat, I'm a new Christian at this point, and so I get saved, and God is chastening me. I don't understand the chastening hand of God. I don't understand that a part of this whole thing. And I thought, my goodness, all God wants to do is torture me. All he wants to do is abuse me. Where did I get that from? I equated God to what mankind did to me. And about 6 months afterwards, the Lord started teaching me about God and God the Father. 6 times in your New Testament, Paul separates God and God the Father. And God started teaching me what it was to be a father.
Yeah.
How he was going to be a father to me. And how they had to have correction. And that he was not doing it because he hated me. But because he loved me.
Amen.
You can't get that in college. You can. I'm just saying, you ain't gonna get that from no book, bro. You know, the Holy Ghost of God just showed up, and you know what he showed me? I'm your dad. Hey, look at man, I didn't have a dad in my life. Abandoned me, probably in hell. Didn't have a dad in my life. And God said, Dale, you need to trust me. I said, I can't. How do I trust this God? Men, women, if you have children in here, for those of you who do have children, brother, there's times that we have to make decisions for our children. And they look at you like you're trying to commit murder on them. But you're not. That decision is made out of perfect love and protection for them. And all you're trying to get them to do is say, stop, hold my hand, trust me, let's walk through this. And that's what God does with us. That's what God taught me in that 6 months. That Dale, I know it looks like it's going to hurt you, but it's for your own good. Take my hand and walk with me. Woo! Hey, I learned how to trust God through those things. Why? Because he had compassion on me. And he wanted me to know that I could take his hand and walk through those hard times and walk through those valleys. And that he was still going to be there. That he wasn't going to forsake me. He wasn't there to abuse me, but to better me.
Yes.
Amen.
Why? Because he was driven by compassion to do that for me. You understand me?
Yeah.
My goodness. He came to cleanse us of everything we've ever thought and said and done inside of our own hearts and our own minds. Jesus Christ had compassion against every thought. I mean, can I just ask you a question? I love having these two of my Sunday school kids sitting here, saved and born again. How about that?
Amen. Hey, that's good.
God's compassion for you and you, growing up in church as a pastor's son, you think, man, what a good boy. He would never think anything bad about God. You ask him if that's where his thoughts were on God. Why don't you ask him how much he hated God in his heart? Ask him how much he hated what his parents were doing. I remember the time his dad had to yoke him up. The reality. Grew up in church, hating God. Sit underneath the preacher of a King James Bible, hating God. You go, that's impossible. No, it's not. There are people in this room today that grew up in church who hate God.
Yeah.
There are people who didn't grow up in church that are in this room today, brother, that hate God.
Yeah.
And they go, why won't God do anything for me? Sister, do you know if people just admit how much they really do hate God? You see, people are just so afraid to look at what they are. They're afraid. They all say this, well, I don't hate God. Why don't you really let God examine your heart?
That's right.
You'll find some pretty scary things there.
Yeah.
I guarantee you one thing, you will deny it at first. That can't be me. Oh, yes, it's you. Oh, yes. It's you, but let me just give you some good news. Jesus Christ has had compassion on that.
Hallelujah.
Brother, if a person goes to hell, they chose it.
Yeah, right.
He chose a cross. He chose that his soul will go to hell as an offering. That's what he chose. I had a man ask me one time, he said, Dale, if God is so loving, then why does he put people in hell? I said, because they chose to go there. They rejected Jesus Christ. They rejected the gospel.
Yeah,
right.
They rejected it, not him. He's done everything in his power. Man, I look back now and I see everywhere that God had his hand in my life. And I just wouldn't look at it. I wouldn't turn to it because I thought I knew better as a young man. Hey, Mom, how well did I do about going into that boys' home and stuff? How well did I do going to jail and prison, rehabs and mental health? How well did that work out for me as a young person thinking I knew exactly what I was doing? Hey, Pete, how did it work for you? It ain't going to work out for you. You need Jesus Christ and you better get to him. Oh, I got it all together. I've never in my life been in churches where I've seen so many depressed people who have Jesus.
Right.
Let me tell you about how many pills are sitting in this room tonight in people's bodies, and they're happy with Jesus.
Come on. You preach out that from bottom out.
When I met Pastor John, I was probably on 10 or 15 psychotropic pills a day. Bipolar disorder, depression, explosive anger disorder, PTSD. I was on all that mess. How many do you think I'm on today? Zero.
Yeah, that's right. Amen.
Why is that? Why is that? Because I have Christ living in me. Jesus Christ is living in me. Hey, you know what the psych doctors don't want to tell you? It's your conscience that's killing you. It's your sin nature that's destroying you. And you won't look at it, so you're going to try to cover it up with some psych medicine.
Right. Yeah. Right.
And psych doctors are sending people straight to hell.
Yeah.
Brother Ronnie said it best. Doctors are probably some of the best dealers that have been ever on this planet. Legal dealers.
Yeah.
Feeding people medications and it's killing them. Hey, it's killing my people in jail and prison with all that pain medicine nonsense. Mm-hmm. I've had 16, 17 back surgeries and neck surgeries. How much pain medicine do you think I take today? I got metal running through my back, running through my neck and my arms and everywhere else. I take zero pain medicine because it's killing my people.
Right.
Playing games like you can't live without pain medicine. Well, what's up with this?
Amen.
I must be just that special person. But I know another person. Paul.
Right.
What about what Paul went through? He didn't even have Asperger's Tylenol.
Right.
What do you think his body felt like? But we can plant. Look, when it's used properly and done properly, I'm not against the pain medicine. But not everybody's in that much pain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially when they're younger people.
Yeah.
That stuff makes me ill.
Yeah.
Makes me sick, you little crybaby wimps. Man up.
Amen.
That pain ain't gonna go away with some pain medication. Only Jesus Christ can take away that pain. Hey, you know what the psych doctors never told me? Go get a little bit of Jesus, he'll help you. They never told me that. Why? Because they wanted to keep feeding me their medication. Keep me sick. And Jesus Christ said, Dale, I'm coming to heal you. Oh man, Brother Tim. Now that woman with the issue of blood, she only had to touch the hem of his garment. My goodness, people say, well, I don't have the hem of his garment today. Oh, let me just tell you, the hem of his garment is found in the King James Bible. You get to him, he'll heal you, and he'll make you whole. He'll give you what you need. You won't need the psych drugs. You won't need the pain medicine because you'll have Jesus.
Amen.
Imagine if people really got Jesus. Imagine if people really got a grip on this Jesus. My goodness, it'd be life-changing. It would probably shatter. It'd probably shatter this neighborhood if people got Jesus like they want, like he wants them to have. That's a reality. Well, anyway, Psalms 103. Psalms 103. You just pray as I'm obedient to God up here, okay? You pray. Pray while I'm up here. I don't know about it. To me, it's never an easy thing to get behind the pulpit. I don't take it lightly. After I got up from my nap, I came over here and got my Bible. All the lights were off, and I just started begging God, please, you got to be with me tonight, Lord. Okay, I'm not much. I'm not a man of eloquent speech. I'm a loud, crazy, whatever you want to call me. But I know one thing. God has given me a passion to preach.
Amen.
I'm not a college literate, you know, person. I don't always preach the right things. I don't always preach the best things. But I just preach that Bible.
Amen.
There's nothing else on this. Brother, I get excited when I get to preach.
Amen.
But I know one thing. I'm afraid, Pete.
Yeah.
I'm always afraid to preach. Why? You go, are you scared of the faces? No, I'm not scared of the faces. But I'm scared that I might say something and not realize and have to answer to God for it.
Right, right.
It's a serious matter, Brother Matt, isn't it, to handle the Word of God? That's a serious matter. I don't know about anybody else, but to me, it's a serious matter from standing behind the pulpit.
Yeah. Right,
yeah. Handling the Word of God. Well, Psalm 103, look at this. Verse 1. Bless the Lord, some of my soul. Bless the Lord when only things are going good. Bless the Lord when I'm on the mountaintop. Bless the Lord when all my paychecks are paying all my bills. That's not what it says. He says, bless the Lord, all my soul, and all that is within me. Not some of, not halfway, not with lip service, but all that is within you. You got something to rejoice about. You ought to be shouting tonight for what Christ has done in you. And if you ain't got nothing to shout about, then he ain't done nothing for you.
Amen.
People say, man, why do you keep, don't come to heaven because they're shouting in heaven. You don't believe me? Read the book of Revelation. There's going to be shouting in glory.
Amen.
Yes.
I am a northern southern preacher.
Amen.
I'm just loud. I get excited. Love the things of God. I love to preach the things of God. And when I read the Bible, not only with the things that God is trying to change in me, Peter, but the excitement where I get to see for what he's done for me.
Amen.
That I can bless the Lord with all my soul. Timothy, man, that prayer night that we had in our church, To see you standing up there praising God. We watched the video one time. We were on the road and we watched the service. And you got up and stood behind that pulpit. And you were just raising your hands for I don't know how long. You know what you were doing? You were blessing the Lord with all your soul for what he's done for you. But let me just say this. Who's doing that tonight? You're not even considering the compassion that Christ is. You won't even bless him with your life, let alone with your lips. Got nothing to bless the Lord with. They got nothing to bring him but a bunch of religious nonsense. You know, you talk about that a lot. I know the diseases that are in churches. The diseases aren't just sexual. The diseases aren't just drinking and drugging. There's a religious disease that's killing the churches. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. Brother Pat, do you know why people don't recognize the benefits of Christ? Because they're too fixated with the benefits of the world.
Yeah.
One of our good friends, you guys grew up with him. Eric Baylor said it perfect in that Sunday school. He said, you know why people can't hear Jesus? Because the world is too loud. You got to turn the world down. Do you know there's benefits in serving Jesus Christ? But how many of us want his benefits? When's the last time you said, Lord, today I'd truly like to concentrate on your benefits? We don't. We don't. Why? We don't even look for what his benefits are. When's the last time you examined the benefits that you get in Christ? Be honest with yourself. When? When have you got to the realization of, man, this is what I get in Jesus? Wow. That's a benefit beyond anything, beyond any measure. But yet we don't even look at the compassion of Christ. But look what he goes on and says here. And forget not all the benefits. Who forgiveth how many of your iniquities? Oh. All thine iniquities. You know what that means? He's not only forgotten forgiven the outward things, but he's forgiven those inward things, those iniquities that are in the heart.
Amen.
You know why it took me so long to get saved? Because I would always come to this altar with worldly sorrow. Sorry for being a drug addict. Sorry for being a convict. Sorry for being this. Sorry for being that. He was not. That wasn't even nothing he was worried about. He was worried about the inward things, that sin nature, those iniquities that were abound in my heart. The iniquities in the heart. You know, we look at people and go, why do they do that? That's the iniquity driving them. And how many of your iniquities have been forgiven? It says all. Man, that's... Oh, we not be excited, Miss Amy?
Amen. Oh,
that we get to stand before Jesus one day, and he's not going to look at those iniquities. He's already, they're all gone, Mom. They weren't put under the blood. They were washed by the blood.
That's right.
Ain't that right, Tim?
Right. Amen.
Look what it says. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. You go, but I'm still sick. I still have pain. Yes, that's the curse. But let me tell you, he's going deeper than the disease of your body. He's going to the disease of your sin nature.
Right.
He healed all that. There's not one that comes to Christ that he doesn't heal that disease. And let me just tell you something. Maybe if you just prayed to God and got saved, you can move around like me no matter what disease you have.
Right.
I do pretty good for having all those surgeries. God has kept me off of crutches. Oh, excuse me, out of a cane. God has kept me out of a wheelchair. And he allows me to preach and travel around to preach. He allows me to go into those jails. Why? Because he's given me a renewed vigor. He's given me a new life inside of me. He's given me something deeper than I could ever imagine. And he's given my body strength to do what I do. But I still have the curse of the world on me. But that don't stop me. It didn't stop me as a lost person. It ain't going to stop me as a saved person. That's a benefit of God.
Right.
Not only does he forgive our iniquities, but he healeth all of our diseases. Man, you notice it says ETH on the end of that? Because it doesn't stop. It continues to do so. Verse 4. We're just talking about this brother who redeemeth thy life from destruction. You know, God redeemed me out of that life, and some of you he redeemed from that life. That you've never had to face the life that I faced. Amen. Never had to go through. And you know what? Both of those are still both the same testimonies.
That's right.
Jesus Christ. Hey, I tell you, I get excited when I realize that. Brother Bat, you got excited. Man, you got excited out there in the hallway when we realized Jesus Christ, an old farmer dude and an old convict. And guess what he did? He redeemed both of us.
Amen.
Same of blood, same cross.
Amen.
We're brothers in Christ. We'll be in heaven for eternity. Hallelujah. Thank God for that. Hallelujah. We'll be in. Hey, well, you can teach me how to use the cows up there, because down here I don't want nothing to do with them. I'm afraid of a cow, man. I don't know what it is. I've always been afraid of cows. I don't want to be around them unless Brother Bat's there. I went to two farms. I went to two farms in my life. The first one I went to, I got, you know, pushed up against the bars by this big old cow. I'm trying to move this thing and I could not. That helped my fear even worse. The second time I ever went to a farm was going to Brother Bat's farm, and I just thought that was very glorious. And the stories, the stuff that he gets to tell. God gave him a gift to use his farm. To be able to witness to people, tell the stories of the Bible. I mean, I love it.
Yes.
God has given him a gift for that. It's special. Today he said, Brother Dale, he says, look, at when you get that house going, call me up and you can bring those ladies over there. Do you know how special that would be? To be able to hear a man talk of Jesus Christ over cattle.
Amen. It's good, brother. It's good.
He said, there's two different lives. I said, yes, sir, there sure is. Brother Matt knows that life. And he knows the importance of that. He would have never invited those girls over there. But how special that's going to be. The day that we'll be able to take them over in that van, Amy, and have Brother Bat and Miss Bat being there and talking about Christ with those cows and showing them that. That's going to blow their minds. They ain't seen no cow. You don't see cows in the city. Yeah, that's a benefit, buddy. It's a benefit. I know, you go, man, this is crazy. Yeah, it is. Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies? Who would have ever thought? Who would have ever thought that God would make me somebody that would have mercy? My mother's here to attest, brother, and I'm not bragging. I promise you I'm not bragging. I just want to show you the contrast without Christ to with Christ. Without Christ, it was nothing for me to jump over a railing in my mother's house and beat the snot out of somebody walking down the sidewalk and just rob them right there. It would be nothing for me to do filthy bad things in front of my mother and have her watch me abuse people. It would be nothing for my mother, and forgive me for this, to have to watch me beating a girl while she's running through the house naked. To giving me mercy. To be able to preach the word of God and love people like that. You think I pass up on the compassion of Jesus Christ coming from that? He's crowned me with loving kindness and tender mercies. That I can go out there now and love those same people that I used to be.
Amen.
Now that ain't no joke. That's a reality. You go, my goodness, you ain't heard an inkling of the stories about my life. And thank God for it. But let me just tell you this. You wonder why I get excited when I get into this Bible and start preaching about the mercies of God and about the goodness of God and about what he's done in my life. You wonder why I get excited and why I get loud over things, because I understand the compassion that Jesus Christ had on somebody like me. How can you not want a love like that? How can you not desire that? You know what most people's problem is today, especially the young ones that have grown up in church that are without Christ? They got it too good.
Yeah.
The bottom needs to fall out for them, Tim. Peter, the bottom needs to fall out for them. Look at man. Sometimes the only way Christ is going to break this childhood religious preacher's child, the only way he's going to break that pride is to put them on their back, and the only way they got is to look up. That's the truth, man. People, society, you know why they don't see a need for Jesus? Because they're good, law-abiding, tax-paying citizens. But that's not the law that God is worried about. It's the laws that are contained in this book. It's where they stand in God's eyes that he wants them to see. But yet they won't look at that because they're blinded by their goodness. They're blinded by the good things they do. They're blinded by the works that they do. They're blinded because I am this and because I am that. Oh God. One of the worst pictures I've ever seen in my head as I was reading my wonderful Bible. You go, you've seen some pretty bad stuff? Yeah. And one of them is this. Talk about in the book of Revelation, and I think it's 18 or 19. I don't want to misquote. I think it's 18, chapters 18 or 19. One of those two verses. It talks about those people that are in the lake of fire. And guess who's standing on the outside of the lake of fire? The Lamb of God. And you won't even be able to touch him. You won't be able to get to him. And it'll be too late. You'll be in hell, and that Savior that's been chasing your whole life, he'll be standing on the outside of hell, and you'll look at him and go, God, Jesus, save me. And he can't. It's over. What a torturous hell, Timothy, to know that that Savior will be standing on the outside of hell. And you can't get to him.
Yeah.
Ask the man of Luke 16. Right. He knows that feeling. Well, that's a bad picture to see, isn't it? You say, but that's, Jesus would do that? No, you chose that.
Amen.
You chose that. He did.
Amen.
You chose that. He's holy and he's righteous. You know, he would not tell one little white lie to keep you out of hell. You know what? He did one better. He went to hell for you.
Amen.
But you won't accept that. You just keep rejecting it. You just won't get to it. You just won't see the compassion of Christ and what he's had on you. I'm not talking, look at man, I'm not talking to you about some Hollywood nonsense. I'm talking about the compassion of a loving Savior named Jesus Christ and what he's done for you. Get all the Hollywood nonsense out of your head and look at a King James Bible. It'll paint a different picture for you. Who satisfy thy mouth with good things. Brother, Mom, did you ever think there'd be a time that I'd have Jesus coming out of my mouth and not the F-bomb? You see, it's not just about food. Y'all can see that I'm not starving. But he put more than just good things in my mouth food-wise. He put the love of Christ on my lips, Timothy. He put the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ on my lips so that I can go preach it to those who everybody wants to cast away. So that we can go out there and reach those who nobody wants to reach. He put those smooth, those wonderful words in my mouth. It's like butter, he says, when it comes out. That word goes out there. You know what Jeremiah says? God said, you preach my word and it'll be like fire and they'll be like wood and it will devour them. Preach on, preacher.
Hey.
It's going to get them. It's gonna get. Hey, you can't sit underneath preaching and eventually it won't get you. If it does, it's because of the hardness of your heart and you have rejected Christ one too many times and you'll bust hell wide open with that. That'll be them. That won't be the preacher's fault. It won't be God's fault. That'd be their fault. So that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. It wasn't too long ago. I don't know, been 2-3 years now. As I get older, and I'm not old. I'm not claiming to be old. I'm just saying I'm getting older. My body's been through a lot. I've abused my body probably more than the average person. But it wasn't too long ago that big old bucking strong young man right there, that I was working out with him lifting almost 500 pounds. Bench pressing, I don't know how much bench pressing and deadlifting and all that kind of stuff. Why? What happened? Because God renewed my youth. He's given me a new vigor. I don't sit around and contemplate about my pain. I don't sit around and worry about those things that happened in my past. He gave me a new life. He gave me a new direction. He's renewed some stuff in me, and he's given me the ability to go out there to do it.
Yes, sir. Amen.
He's merciful like that, Tim.
Amen.
So good.
What a benefit.
Amen.
But brother, how many of us are sitting around thinking of these benefits? You know why? Because some people, even you younger saved people, have it too good. And I know from only being saved at 13, you're going to be 13 years old this year in the Lord, that God's about to yank the rug. And that's the only way he can do it. There's no other way around it. If anybody's going to be worth anything to God, he's going to have to take that rug out from underneath. You know why? Because you have it too good. You will not hearken to him. Now, not everybody's like that, Brother Pat. Not everybody has to have the rug yanked out from underneath them. Some people realize that, and they, you know what they do? They get in tune with God. But most don't. Most don't. And God's got to come around and yank that rug from underneath him. And when he does, you know who ought to be there for him? Us. Church people ought to be there, especially some young men. These young men believe they've been called to preach. My God, you better pray for them.
Amen.
I know what's coming for them. I get it. It still comes for me, and I'm 13 years old. I've been preaching for, my pastor put me behind a pulpit 6 years old, and the Lord, he put me behind a pulpit to preach. 11 and a half years. Let me tell you something, about 11 and a half years of God pulling the rug out from underneath me. I wouldn't be the man that I am today. I wouldn't have a ministry of 8 years if God did not do that with me. Why? Because I could never be worth anything to God trying to be myself. Is that mean and cruel? No, it's the compassion of Christ. It's the compassion that God puts on a person that he does not leave them the same when he met them. Isn't that wonderful?
Thank you, Lord.
I'm not saying it's easy, like I have an S on my chest and it's, you know, I walk on water. No, that's not. But I tell you, Miss Natalie, it was worth every bit of it. There's not one thing outside of my own stupidity, Peter, that I regret Jesus Christ doing with me. Not one. Not one. Matthew chapter 18 as we close up. Just while you guys are turning there, Mark 6:34, Matthew 9:36, they're both basically the same verse, which says that he was moved with compassion. He's seen them, and he's seen that they were without a shepherd, so he began to teach them. In the book of Matthew, it doesn't say that he began to teach them. The book of Mark did, okay? But I'm sure he taught them. Mark wouldn't lie and say something. Just Matthew left that. He just didn't talk about that. He talked about the important thing. What was the important thing? That Christ had compassion on people. What he talked about. That was the important thing of those verses, is that Christ had compassion on people. And let's go. What did it say? Matthew chapter 18. I got to get there. Matthew chapter 18. Look at verse 26. We're getting ready to close down. 18:26. And the servant fell down, and he worshipped him. Well, that's us. That should be a picture of us. And it said, and he fell down and he worshiped him. And he said, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And then the Lord of the servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. You go, well, he's given a parable. My friends, he's given a parable of himself. Because there is a debt in your life. There is a sin debt in your life that you can never or will never pay.
Right.
Let me make this clear. And there's no debating it with me. When Jesus Christ took your condemnation was not a cross.
That's right.
It was an eternal damnation in hell.
Right.
So what debt do you think he had to pay? He went to hell for it. He paid your debt in full. If his soul did not go to hell, then you still owe a debt that you cannot pay.
That's right. Amen.
Amen.
I'm not open for debate on that, Brother Tim. Because that is the Bible. That is the Bible. And I've lost friends. And I've lost churches over taking that stand. But I'm okay. I'm still going.
Amen.
You know why? Because God knows. God knows, Tim. We're in the day and age, my friends, that we're going to lose friends and we're going to lose people because of where we stand on the King James Bible.
Amen. Yes, sir.
If you don't think that's going to happen, then get out of your house and start going out there telling people about Jesus and watch what happens. You see, people are real protected in the church. Pretend they're real protected in their own home. You start getting out there in the ministry, it's a little different. Bro, I love you when you came up to me and said, hey, I saw a guy come in this door, man. His neck was covered with all these tattoos. You think he's in the gang? He noticed somebody. He didn't turn his face from him, brother. He noticed that man walking. He noticed the tattoos on his neck. Why? Because God is making him pay attention to people. Are you? I'm not trying to blow you up, brother, but I know when people start asking questions like that, they're paying attention to people. They're not shunning them. They're not looking at them like, don't talk. I don't want to talk. No, they're noticing that person, and they're realizing Christ died for that person, and that there's a hope for that person, and that Christ has compassion for that person, and they just want to know a little bit about them. That's what they want to know. Well, I'm glad you're interested in people's lives, brother. Because most people would just cast a stone at that person for having tattoos on their neck. I don't. I don't care what you have in your nose, your lip, your ears, what color your hair is, whatever. I used to say, when I got saved, I said, Miss Ashley, I would say, Lord, how can that people ever be convinced that I'm a Christian with all this nonsense with tattoos on me? I didn't know. And God said, it's your testimony where I brought you from. I said, then leave them. Then leave them. I'm all right with them now. They don't bother me. When I'm going to jail, I wear a short sleeve shirt. You go, man, why do you do that? To show off your tattoos? No, to show them that I understand where they're at. I come from where they come from. You see, it ain't easy to gain their trust. Let's just take one of you, and you come in jail with me. Let's see how fast you gain their trust. But God didn't call you to that, did he? You ought to be praying for liberty behind bars. Why? God called me to that. We need your prayers. Need you guys, man. I don't know you guys that are praying church for us. I do. 18. As we close this thing up, look what it says in verse 26. And the servant fell down and he worshipped him and said, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion. And he loosed him and forgave him his debt. I'm just going to tell you this now. Not only does he forgive our debt, but he loosens us from those things that bind us.
Mm.
Wow. Isn't he amazing when that happens and he comes into your life and those very things that have kept you bound your whole life all of a sudden are gone?
Amen.
I know. I just was that far gone that it only affects me. He loosed those things.
Amen.
That means I don't have to suffer those things anymore.
That's right.
Those things I thought, my goodness, they're never, how am I ever going to get rid of these things? How are these things ever going to get out of my life? There is no way. I will look at and listen to all these people and say, man, Jesus can do this and Jesus can do that. I go, how in the world will that ever happen? How come it's not happening for me? Why am I still in the same state that I've always been in? Why don't you just trust Jesus? I go, trust? I wanted to take their heads off when they asked me that. Trust? I didn't trust people, let alone trust this Jesus. I could never bring myself to a point to trust somebody I can't see, feel, and touch. So what was the issue? The Lord took that King James Bible and taught me to believe, to be saved. To believe, to be saved, and not by head knowledge.
Yep.
Brother, do you realize, you asked my wife, when I came home from prison, I can quote NIVs, ESVs, King James, New King. You ask her how much of that stuff. I even knew some Greek and Hebrew. Ain't that special of me? You flush that nonsense down the toilet. That's just my stand. You don't have to stand there, but I do. I had a man come up to me and say, you know, those people in jail and prison need to know Greek and Hebrew to get saved. I said, then we'll all bust hell wide open. Why do we need Greek and Hebrew when God put it in English? Why are we trying to put it back into a language God took it out of? just completely blows my mind. If I needed Greek and Hebrew and Aramaic, then why wouldn't God just leave it in that language for me? And then give me the spirit to learn it. He didn't. He said, Dale, you're a knucklehead, so I'm going to put it in English for you. You can understand it now. Thank God for that. Yeah. That's reality. That's good. Yeah. God gave me a perfect King James Bible. Yeah. In his compassion, he gave us the word of God. Yeah. So that we can understand it, Peter.
Yeah.
Me and you have more in common than you think. I meant to say this. I do not believe the King James Bible because of what somebody wrote about it. Yeah. I believe the King James Bible because of what's written in it.
Amen. Thank
you. Because of what's written in it. Amen. I'm not even kidding you. I love my pastor. He's written a few books, and I think maybe I read half of one. You go, why do you think he's bad or teaching different? No, I think he's probably teaching right down the line. But what I don't want is man's opinion.
No,
it's good. I need God's opinion on the matter. And if I ever did read a book, you ask my wife, when I did read the half of the book, I had my Bible sitting next to me. You go, my gosh, you mean you don't trust what your pastor wrote? He's a man.
Yep.
We all make mistakes. We do things that we may not. We say things that we might not have said. There are things that he had to go and revamp in his one book because he doesn't believe that anymore. God showed him something different on it. Yep. So I'm supposed to just take a book at its face value because of somebody's name on it? Well, that's what's going on today. Most people can't say, well, I'm a King James Bible believer. No, you're a whoever wrote this book believer.
That's right.
Because you need a book to teach you everything.
Yeah.
I got a book that teaches me everything. It's called the Bible. That's why God put it in my language.
Yeah.
And he said, if you just go ahead and you'll sit down with me, I will teach you that thing.
Amen.
He says he gives us an unction that we'll know all things.
Right.
Well, he must be lying there because I don't learn anything. No, you don't want to learn anything. I have people all the time tell me this in jail. Well, I just don't understand the these and the thousands. I said, start reading it more and you will.
Amen.
But that's why we include that little pamphlet you made on King James Helps. It helps them to understand you can read that. I did not grow up with a Bible in my home. No blame to you, mother. None. I hold nothing against my mother. Amen. Anything I say here has no bearing on her whatsoever.
Lord God. Amen.
But we didn't grow up with the Bible at my house. How did I learn how to read a Bible? It just must have been some magic. I must be just a smart person that God can just put this Bible in front of me and bang, magic. No. The desire of your heart. Young people, if I was to come up to you and give you a brand new phone, you would know some basics of that. But you know what you would do? You would keep that thing in your hand and keep your head down until you figured out every single bit of that. Why aren't we doing that with the Bible?
That's good. Amen. Come on, brother.
That's a reality.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
You can figure out a lot of things, Russell, can't you? I mean, thank God for your dad and your mom teaching you things, your uncle, your grandfather and all that. I'm going to say this in kindness. You know more about woodwork and stuff than I ever will. So don't think you don't know things. You know a good family that I don't. They have a mom and a dad. That woman over there did the best she could with what she had.
Amen.
Mom, her dad was very abusive sexually, but her beat the snot out of her and her seven brothers. And my mother raised us the best she knew how.
Amen. Raised God.
I honor my mother today.
Amen.
You know why? I used to hate her. I hated my mother, and I would tell her that to her face constantly. Tell I'll stomp your guts out. I can't stand you. I hate you. So that's all. Do you do that to your mom and dad? Maybe you do it in your heart.
No.
But you still have a lot more than what you think. Yeah. When I got saved, I told my mom, I said, Mom, you know what? God told me, he commanded me that I will learn how to honor you.
Hey.
What stipulation do you think he put on that? If my mother treated me right, if she did everything perfect, then if I forgave her for everything, is that the stipulation you think he put on that? Zero. That was a compassion of Christ to do that, wasn't it, Ma? And then my mom's reaping the benefits of that. Hallelujah.
Hey,
hey, hey. Thank God. God had to prepare me for that. People thought I was crazy moving my mother into the house. Oh, I wasn't crazy. I just listened to God. I was obedient.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
You know what's happened, Brother Pat? The Word of God is starting to infiltrate my mother's heart and her mind, starting to clear things up that's never been clear.
Amen.
She's asking questions and reading things and coming to Bible study, am I right? Asking questions.
Hey.
And they may be simple questions to you, but things she just don't understand.
Hey.
But you know what? God's stirring in there, bringing those questions.
Right.
That's something, man.
It's precious. Right?
Wow. What if I just left her into her house by herself, Timothy? As I stand here today, the Lord showed me, Dale, your mother's been locked away for 20 years in her house, and you have abandoned her.
Mm.
I said, Lord, how do I get rid? How do I make this right? How do I make this right that I can help my mother that she's not no longer locked up in the house? I said, what can I do? I'll move her anywhere. I'll do anything. And the Lord said, you're home. I said, oh, well, anything but, because me and my mother could never live together. No, we just couldn't. We were like wild banshees when we got together. I went to my wife. I said, honey, I said, over a year period, I kept coming to my wife, honey, I think the Lord wants me to move my mom into the house. And she'd be like, okay. I said, no, seriously, pray on it, you know. Then I would go to Luke and Otto. I said, I think, you know, the Lord have Grandma moved in the house with us and said, here's what we're going to do. Maury family, we're going to pray. But hang on. And fast.
Woo.
Yep.
Hey.
Oh, I just had a swear word. In a Baptist church. Fasting?
Right.
And so we fasted. And unanimously. Individually, we all went and did our own thing. Our praying and our fasting. And within a few days, we all come back and said, yes, 100%. God would have Grandma move into the house.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Here she is.
What?
That's the compassion that Christ has if you'll be obedient.
Right.
Remember what he's forgiven you for.
Yeah.
It's real easy to love them that love you. Well, what about a hard person in your life that God is challenging you to have compassion on? Will you not do that for them? Why is it so difficult to do? He says to forgive as he has forgiven you.
Yeah.
Have compassion on those that you think is impossible for anything to happen. Have some compassion on Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. Oh, I can't believe you said that. You must be a Democrat. I am not a Democrat. But the one thing I'm going to tell you this, they need Jesus Christ just as much as anybody else. Is it impossible for him to save them?
No.
But how many of you really honestly pray for him and they get saved? That's a reality, because to you, he's enemy. He is an enemy. He's an enemy of God. He hates God. They're murderers. Straight up abortionists. There's nothing I agree with them on. But isn't it the same way God's looking at us when we weren't saved?
Right.
Oh, we're going to put him on a different playing field than us. God doesn't.
No.
Brother Bass said it to me earlier. At Calvary, the ground is equal. It's level.
Right. That's right.
Well, we won't have compassion on them because we don't care if they get saved. You know why? Because we think mighty Trump is going to come in and save the world. And let me just get newsflash, he's not! Look, if he gets voted in, I'm not against Trump. That's fine. But everybody's looking at him like he's going to be some savior or something. And he won't be. We're in the end times. We're heading to the end. It's over with. Whatever happens, God's going to put him in power. And we're still heading to the end. It's not going to get better. And thank God that trumpet's coming sooner than later. I'm ready to bust out of here. I have a good life, Miss Ashley, and I got good church people, and I thank you guys for coming and supporting us. And I thank you for being here tonight. And I got good church. You know, people say, why did you come out here so early when you weren't preaching? Because we love spending time with the people of God.
Amen.
I love you guys. I love you like my family. All you guys, I love you guys. I love being around you. But boy, I'm ready to go, honey. I'm ready to get off into glory, man.
Yeah.
I'm tired. Brother, I am getting wore out. I used to beat on my chest 10 minutes an hour, not ever. I'm one day closer to heaven than I was yesterday.
Yeah.
And Pastor Hain always used to say, when you get older, and I'm not old, I'm not trying to say that I'm old. But he says, as you get older, heaven will become more in your vision than it ever has. And man, is that true? Age-wise, I'm not old. Body-wise, I'm twisted. His final compassion for me is to say, come, well done, thou good and faithful servant.
Yes.
I'll go, Lord, I owe it all to you. You owe me nothing. What do you mean, good and faithful servant? I haven't been a good and faithful servant, Lord. It's to say, enter. I'll rest for eternity.
Amen.
What a compassion that a God would have on such a soul. Tim, did you know that the devils believe that? The devils believed God's word. Let me just turn one more time to you. I want to show you this one thing here. Turn with me. I got to just find it real quick. Let's go to... I wrote down the verse and I don't remember where I put it. Let's try Matthew chapter 8. This may be it. Matthew chapter 8. And we'll close with this. Let me just tell you something here. For all you lost people, I want you to take heed to one thing here. And Jesus Christ is going to be talking about the devils in Matthew chapter 8, verse 31 and 32. You go, why are you talking about this? And I want to show you that they have more belief than you do. Verse 31 of Matthew chapter 8. And so the devils besought him, saying, if thou castest up. You see, they sought Jesus more than most people sitting in churches today. They went to go to Jesus because they knew what he could do. And they were going to ask of him something. Now, these are evil beings. These are devils. And they seek Jesus more than most church people do today. And he goes on to say, in verse 31, and he goes on to say, so the devils besought him, saying, if thou castest out, sufferest to go away into the herd of swine. And look what it says. And he said unto them, go. That is the only word he had to speak to them, and they went. Jesus Christ is telling you tonight to come.
That's right.
Hey, come.
It's a command. Come. Hey. When he told the devils to go, they went. They believed his word. Don't sit here and tell me that you believe that Bible and sit here as a lost person. That's a lie straight from the pits of hell. Because if you believed it, it would have done. Hey, belief demands an action. If you believe something, you will live it. Belief demands an action in this King James Bible. I did the study on it. You know what he says, Tim, to the lost person? Come. That's his command. But that's not only his command, it's his compassion. He's not stopped telling you to come. He's got his arms out waiting. What else can he say or do to show you that? What else? Let me just say this. The problem doesn't lie with Jesus Christ. The problem is in you. The problem is in your belief. The problem is what you think you believe and what you think you don't believe. That's where the problem is. You've been deceived by the devil. He's subtle. He's coming in and he's keeping your mind blind. You won't let the gospel of Christ shine in that thing and show you what you need. That's the compassion of Christ. If you leave here today, out of all the preaching that has went on in the last few services, and go study out those moved with compassion, go study those five verses. Go look at them. Go read them. And put yourself in them. But there's one more that he has compassion on, and it's that leper. And there's a leper, and we know that leprosy is a picture of sin. And Jesus Christ comes along, Miss Natalie. I was a picture of leprosy. I was a living picture of leprosy. People scattered from me, not to me. Except for Christ. Christ never scattered from me. He never forsook me. He was always there with his arms open waiting for me to come. And that's what he said to me. And that one night, kneeling 90 and a half East Main Street on the floor, come. And I said, Lord, I understand perfectly that I'm a rebel against you and your word, and this is what you hold me accountable for. And in his compassion, he moved. You understand that? He moved on me. I didn't move on him. When I got saved, Jesus Christ moved on me. I didn't move on him. That's right. He was moved with compassion. And he stepped inside of me. And I've been changed for eternity. Because that's what his compassion does. But you say, I do believe he's had compassion on me. No, you don't, because if you did, you'd be saved tonight.
That's right.
That's a reality. You don't believe. And if you look at some of you have grown up in a home where it's full of compassion, and therefore you won't see the need for compassion of Jesus Christ. Mm. Some grew up with a home full of love, and all, but you know what? You won't ever see the need of love of Christ. Some of you grew up in a good home. But brother, man, thank God for you, brother, and your testimony. When you said that you grew up in a home that was loving and kind, you didn't go out there and want to be in the world and be part of that world, but he still understood his need for Jesus Christ. He still understood himself as a sinner. And most of you young people sitting in church don't understand your need as a sinner. You don't understand what you really are in God's eyes. You will not look at your own heart to see what you are. You will not take that Bible and let it show you what you are. You will not let it split you asunder so our soul and spirit, those thoughts and intents of your heart, you won't let it get in there and show you what you are in God's eyes, because in your religiousness and in your goodness you think you're okay. You think you have one more day. My gosh, the foolishness to think you might walk out of here and be okay. You go, you're just trying to scare tactic that into people. No, I'm not telling you the truth of what happens to people. You know it. This church knows all too well what happens.
Right. That's right.
You just went through it. So you think I'm lying? You ask the church people what they just went through in this church. We'll see you next Sunday.
Yeah.
Oh, God help them.
You young people, just because you're young doesn't mean you're going to make it another day.
That's right. Come on.
Stop playing Russian roulette with your soul. Because they all think they're young, that God's still going to give them more time. Brother, somebody might just push it too far. God forbid. Peter, could you imagine having to come to a funeral, brother, you, of one of these young people in this church, and standing over that casket looking at him, knowing where that young person is? My God, wouldn't that be heart-wrenching? Because you know they've been underneath the truth. But Brother Bat, it's just not the young people. It's the older people.
Yeah.
It's the middle-aged people. It's everybody that's not saved. They think one more time, I've been doing this my whole life, so I'm good. God is going to punch my ticket. He's going to punch your ticket, but it won't be where you think you're going.
Right. Yeah.
He's got a ticket to punch for you. My kids have been blessed to grow up in church their whole life. But that didn't get them a free ride into heaven. They needed Jesus Christ just as much as me. And Pete, you know what? They didn't step out and do the things that you, me, and Tim and all that. They've done none of that outwardly.
Yeah,
I mean, correct, outwardly.
Yeah.
But inwardly.
Yeah.
But you know what happened? One night, my son, laying on his bed, laying on his bed. I think this is somewhat similar to Miss Gracie. Do you know what came in his heart? TV shows. No, I'm just kidding. You know what came in his heart? The Word of God.
That's right.
Amen. The Holy Ghost was with Luke.
Right.
Dealing with him on that bed and showing him his unbelief.
Right.
shown in his rebelliousness against God, against his parents. And God dealt with that. He dealt with them all night long, Brother Tim. I've watched my son's life transform.
Amen.
I've watched him have to go out into the world and be able to stand up against the stuff he stood. I wish I had time to tell you the stuff that he's faced. And if a young man that didn't have Jesus Christ, he wouldn't be able to handle the things that Luke did. Without Christ, there's no way a young person would have made it through that. I didn't make it almost, and I have Jesus. It took everything for me. It took everything inside of me for me not to try to step into my son's life, but I just knew, Tim, that I had to let him go through it. If he was going to be strengthened into a man, I had to let that happen, Brother Bat. That was hard for me because God called me to be a protector. And then my daughter came in a Holy Ghost conviction in her room one night, reading her Bible, and God showed up. What was she doing? Oh, she was reading her Bible in her room by herself. What are you doing, young people, in your room by yourself when nobody's around?
Come on.
Let's just say this, young people, old people, middle-aged people, whatever you are when you're not in church, when you're by yourself, that's who you really are.
Right. Yeah. That's exactly right.
That's who God's trying to get at.
Right.
Well, I'm done, Pastor. Amen. I appreciate the opportunity to